I'm Jill Anderson. This is the Harvard EdCast. Harvard psychologist Rick Weisbord has long called on parents, students, and institutions to be more ethical, especially when it comes time to applying to college. But with our narrow focus on academic achievement and athletics, it's easy to see how whether you're an upstanding student gets lost in the mix. In Rick's latest report, he's asking parents in high schools to play a greater role in a need to put students' ethical character first in college admissions. He believes a lot of this work should start with adults modeling such good and ethical behavior. Knowing this, I asked Rick what he thought when news broke recently about the college admissions scandal where dozens of parents were accused of allegedly cheating and bribing their children's way into college.
And I guess I had this dual reaction. One reaction was, it's good, this is getting public attention. But the other reaction was that parents might not see themselves in it. You know, it's fraud. It's breaking the law. Some of it seemed really dumb to me. It is part of a continuum in some ways that the deck is stacked. It is an unfair system. There are a lot of people in legal ways who are rigging the system, writing letters to admissions officers to sabotage the prospects of other students from your own kid's school that are applying to that college. Or getting on your kid's email and writing emails to college admissions officers as if they're coming from your child. And also, you know, telling your kids not to share information about the colleges they're applying, like treating every other kid as competition for your child rather than helping your community, helping the kids in your community get to college. But then there's the other things. You know, there's people giving huge amounts of money to get their kids into college. There's athlete preference. There's legacy preference. I mean, that a lot of people are participating in. There's getting SAT tutors in the 9th or 10th grade. There's getting college consultants in high school with no sense of equity or fairness. Those kind of things are much more mainstream and far more common than this college admission scandal. And that's really where I feel like our attention should be. You know, there are some kids who don't do well in the SAT. They're poor test takers. There may be a reason to get your kid an SAT tutor in a circumstance like that. There are reasons to support your kids in their essay writing, for example. The problem is that this stuff has gotten so extreme that, you know, people are getting SAT tutors and when their kids are decent test takers, and they're getting SAT tutors in the 8th and 9th grade. The problem is not just supporting your kid in writing an essay, but it is your voice intruding on your kid's college essay, or you're over-editing your kid's college essay. There are certain categories of things here that I wouldn't describe as unethical, but there are other categories of things that I think have become so extreme and reflect so little consciousness about equity and fairness that I do think they're unethical.
You've been calling for putting ethical character front and center in the college admissions process. How do you define ethical character?
So when we talk about ethical character, we're mainly talking about kids who care about others, care about the common good, are contributing to their communities, have some sense of equity and fairness. And what we're saying is that colleges are sending powerful messages to kids. And the messages they're sending, you know, very loud and clear, are that academic excellence is important to us. The number of academic accomplishments you have is important to us. Athletic ability is important to us. In that context, it seems irresponsible not to send the message as well that we care about other things and whether you're a good athlete or whether you're good in school. We care if you're a good person or not, in the sense of being somebody who is mindful of others, cares about others, contributes to their community.
Do you think one of the difficult aspects of that is it's a hard thing to measure? Like, it's so easy to measure on a test or even in sports. But how do you measure something like ethical character? Maybe you don't.
They're all hard to measure. I mean, academic aptitude's hard to measure, and the SAT is a very imperfect measure of academic aptitude. So all of these things are hard to measure. I would say about ethical character a few things that I think recommendations often can provide useful information about ethical character. We're working on a whole assessment project, which is trying to improve the way colleges assess ethical character in the college admissions process. But the other thing is that a lot of colleges are assessing ethical character. We're just saying they should weight it more and that they should do it more rigorously because a lot of times they're not doing it well. So we are really making the case that it's important to elevate and it's important to assess and it's important to assess more rigorously.
How can parents be ethical role models for children, especially through this college admissions process?
We're suggesting a few ways that are important. One is not confusing your needs with your kids. You know, one way to be an ethical role model is to be other-centered and empathic. And that includes in the college admissions process, to really listen to your kid, to find out what's the right college for them, to not let your status concerns drive this process or your desire for your kid to reproduce your own college experience. Also to role model in the sense that you can't fudge about your community service. I'm not going to write your essay for you. We're not going to misrepresent in any way in the college application process. And I think also to engage your child in this conversation about equity and fairness. I mean, it depends where you are on the economic spectrum. But particularly for affluent families, I think it's really important to talk to your kids about the advantages they have in this process, the ways the deck is stacked. And we find in our interviews with kids, they're very aware of those inequities. Mm-hmm. They're very aware of the unfairness.
What about guides for high school? That was also part of the report that you just put out, where you also have tips for high schools. And I hadn't really thought about them as contributing to the problem, even though it seems so obvious when I think about it.
There are a number of things that high schools can do. I think, you know, particularly in affluent communities, it is really important to get kids focused on a much wider range of colleges. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of what is driving this crazy achievement pressure is that people think there are 30 or 40 great colleges in the country, and they're trying to shoehorn their kids into those colleges. When the reality is, and the data really support this, is that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of great colleges in this country. So they really have to make the case strongly to parents and persuasively that there are a lot of colleges out there that are great for your kid. I think there's also important ways in which they need to push back. I mean, they really need to work to create a community where it's expected that parents will support other kids. They need to work to create a community where they are continually communicating with parents about what it means to be a real mentor and a moral mentor in this process.
So few kids finish school, finish college, and earn their bachelor's degree. I wonder if parents are even thinking about we should be trying to find a school that is going to be a good fit.
I think what you're saying is exactly right. I mean, for the great majority of parents out there, the biggest issue is finding a college that's affordable because, you know, the debt issue is so enormous. And it's finding a college that's really committed to your kid's completion. Mm-hmm. These are huge issues for parents out there. And the other thing I will say in terms of your point about fit, which is very important, is, you know, what the data show in a recent paper by Challenge Success at Stanford makes this case, is that what matters in terms of your career success and lifelong success is not what college you go to, but whether you're meaningfully engaged in college. So you can go to a state college that isn't especially high status, but if you're meaningfully engaged, the chances of your career and life success are very high. You can go to a high-status college, and if you're not engaged, your chances can drop precipitously. So this is what the college information system should be providing, too. Like, rather than doing the rankings, which sends people completely in the wrong direction, what's the third best college or what's the eighth best college? The issue is, what's the first best college for my child? What's the best college for me?
Mm-hmm. You have gone through the college admissions process as a parent. Did you struggle with some of these cultural issues?
I did. I had a moment with my son that was very, important and revealing to me. We were on a walk one night, and I remember saying to him, I said, you know, I just really want you to know that status doesn't matter to me. I really want you to go to a place that's the right fit, a place that you're going to be really meaningfully engaged. He said, basically, Dad, that's a crock of crap. You know, like, you teach at Harvard. All the people in my community are applying to these high-status colleges. And he was sort of saying, you can take the high road about this because you know there are all these forces that are doing the muscling for you. And, you know, it was a sobering moment for me because I realized, you know, to a certain extent, he was right. You know, that I hadn't really thought a lot about all these forces that are pushing him in one direction and what I really had to do to be able to counteract those forces meaningfully. And, you know, after that, I've had more authentic conversations with my kids, and I've really tried to dig into myself some and to think about the ways status and power and things like that influence how I think about these things and to manage some of those feelings.
How do kids go about finding the right fit for them?
You know, they have a lot of information sources right now, but particularly in affluent communities, people have a lot of information. But information's not democratic, and that's a terrible problem, mm-hmm. that low-income marginalized kids have much, much less access to information than affluent kids do. Middle-class kids tend to have less information to affluent kids, partly because, you know, a lot of middle-class kids can't afford to travel and go to a lot of colleges to visit, for example. So I think it's very important we democratize information. I've been advising Google some on a project over the last couple of years. They're trying to democratize information. They're trying to get better information to all kids about colleges in forms that are engaging for those kids and persuasive for those kids. But I think a lot of people should be trying. This is really an area where technology can be very helpful mm-hmm. in trying to get better information to kids about colleges. I also think that it's important in economically diverse communities, that people with privilege have some responsibility to expose people who don't have privileges to a wide range of colleges and to share information. We have schools that are collaborating on an institute where wealthy schools are sharing information with schools in low-income communities, college search resources, guidance for counselors, connections to admissions officers, I mean, important resources. But that's another thing high school can do, is share information.
Rick Weisbord is a senior lecturer at the Harvard Graduate School of Education, where he also leads the Making Caring Common Project, a national effort to make moral and social development priorities in child raising. He is the author of many books, including The Parents We Mean to Be, How Well-Intentioned Adults Undermine Children's Moral and Emotional Development. I'm Jill Anderson. This is the Harvard EdCast, produced by the Harvard Graduate School of Education. In the next episode, Zhao Mehta and Sarah Fine will share what they discovered when they went looking for deep learning happening in American high schools. Thanks for listening.